This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
NC State Nation today. Again, 844-SAY-ACCN. Wes Durham is at a celebrity golf tournament. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. And filling in for Wes will be the one and only Chris Cotter. Chris, what's happening?
Hopefully Wes is playing well. I can tell you with my filling in for him, the handicap on this show just went way up. So best of luck to you, Wes. Hope you break a few tees out there.
Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow with stories. But Chris, we've got a huge story to digest today for the next 3 hours. And it took place technically Saturday morning, about 2:10 a.m. As we were all sitting there waiting to see what happens with NC State baseball. And, you know, this has been a crazy year with COVID. It all started in March of 2020. We have seen the ups and downs that COVID don't care, right? I've said that 100 times on this show. And lo and behold, from a timing issue, a testing issue, everything that could go wrong basically went wrong for NC State Friday, leading into their game against Vanderbilt, which was a story all unto itself. But what transpired Friday after the game, into the wee hours, the NCAA's press release at 2:10 a.m. that NC State could not participate going further puts Vanderbilt in the championship series. It's had people talking really for the last 48 hours, and it has been kind of crazy. We're going to try to go through all of this today. Boo Corgan's going to join us, the athletic director at NC State, around 9 a.m. this morning. But we knew there were going to be some crazy scenarios during the course of this year, but it seemed like at the very end, the last championship of the NCAA, lo and behold, it happens to NC State.
Yeah, and we really, I mean, think about all baseball season long and really all spring sports long. We really didn't have very many of them. You know, I think about the NCAA hockey tournament. We had a couple of situations there where a team had to leave the tournament. But in general, Pac, it's been really smooth. And I think that gave everybody sort of this sense of relaxation, if you will, that we're getting through this and it's no longer a problem. You have full stadiums. You didn't have any games canceled. You know, I called several baseball games all season long. And after basketball season, I had most of my basketball games actually canceled. Most of them. But baseball season, nothing. Smooth sailing. Had games. They're outside. No problem. So I think that gave everybody a false sense of security as we progressed through the College World Series that we weren't going to have any issues. And then the thing was when Coach Avin said, you know, it really started at the very beginning of the week after they beat Vanderbilt. That first game, they were 2-0 in the winner's bracket. And Coach Avin said, we've got a couple of players that are suffering from a bug. That really set, I think that sent alarm bells out through everybody there in Omaha. And that really changed everything because that all of a sudden, anytime you hear that, now the NCAA is going to want to be a little bit more hands-on, a little bit more testing. And that sort of got the snowball rolling to where it affected them going into that game Friday night. And then, as you said, at about 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, we all basically woke up to it on Saturday morning, hearing that that was a no contest between Vanderbilt and NC State. And that was a shock. And I think the biggest thing was, as we were all trying to gather information throughout the weekend, not a whole lot of it was there. I think that's a big part of the problem and a big part of the discussion, too, is why are so many people left in the dark? And the media might be the last people that are going to hear, but certainly Boo will hear and Coach Avent will hear. And even they apparently were left in the dark for considerable amounts of time here during the weekend about what was going on.
Right. The lack of communication was a problem. And there's so much to uncover here. We're going to do our best to cover it here in the next 3 hours. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. You mentioned there were other teams throughout the course of this year that suffered the same fate as NC State. If you count the Wolfpack, you can look up on the screen here. Five teams made it to the NCAA tournament in their respective sports that were not able to move forward. The difference, though, is NC State baseball, of that group right there, and no disrespect to the Rice women's program in volleyball, Notre Dame and Michigan men's hockey, VCU men's basketball, NC State baseball was the one of that group that you could say, guess what? They're playing for a national championship. It's one thing to be in your respective NCAA tournament, but NC State baseball had proven that they belonged and were an NCAA championship-worthy contender. They had proven it by knocking off Arkansas. They'd proven it by already beating Vanderbilt. They were in the hunt to win it all. So if you're thinking, man, this only happened to NC State, that is not technically correct. Four other programs this year suffered the same fate where they just could not move forward because of COVID testing. Now, you mentioned waking up in the middle of the night. As people know who have watched this show or listened to me on radio, I'm a terrible sleeper. I was up. I was awake at 2 o'clock on Saturday morning, and I was getting ready to watch the conclusion of the baseball game, which was in the weather delay. And then next thing you know, here is this out of nowhere 2:10 a.m. Eastern time news release by the NCAA that basically said, hey, here's the tournament update. NC State is a no contest, and they're out. And as you pointed out, Chris, it's really the only thing we heard from the NCAA the entire weekend, which to me is inexcusable. I mean, this is not, hey, somebody's got a sprained ankle, they may be out for the next game. You basically just told a team that they are out at this stage of the tournament, and that was the only amount of information that was popped up. Now, here it is. You can read it yourself. The NCAA statement, the Division I Baseball Committee has declared the Vanderbilt NC State Men's College World Series game scheduled for Saturday a no contest because of COVID-19 protocols. This decision was made based on the recommendation of the championship medical team and the Douglas County Health Department. Now, it needs to be pointed out, what made it even crazier is that the health department basically said, you know, we're here for the ride. We didn't make any recommendation. So there was already conspiracy theories flying all over the place. Number one, because the NCAA wasn't transparent. They didn't give any additional information for something as big as a team who basically had reached the Final Four that disappears in the middle of the night. And then you've got the complete lack of communication. Who said what? Who agreed to what? You couldn't even get those two to agree on who made the call. So you got all kinds of crazy conspiracy theories that popped up, and including NC State fans going, hey, they got it out for us. Listen, we all agreed to the medical deal, right? I think every team in America before this COVID thing got cranked up said, listen, medicine, the medical experts are going to dictate how we go about our business. And that included NC State, Chris. And this was the case. When you go back and look at NCAA protocol with the way they laid it out, tier one, tier two, tier three, hey, you know what? If you're an unvaccinated player, you're going to get an antigen test. If you fail it, you're going to go and take it to another degree. They'll get the PCR to find out if it's false positive. If that's a positive, guess what? You go into quarantine. And that's the way it works. Unfortunately for NC State, they had a number of those guys picked up. They had four going into Friday. Four more were tested afterwards that tested positive. Next thing you know, you got eight guys Saturday morning tested positive. And the NCAA said, based on the protocols, guess what? We can't move forward. And that's unfortunately where we were. And, but nobody knew that.
Yeah, and because of contact tracing, you have the situation that you had on Friday night that, as you know, would have been compounded so much more if had they tried to play on Saturday. Only had 13 players available on Friday night because the 25-man roster, you had the players that tested positive, but then all the contact tracing meant that others could not play. So imagine adding four more positive tests of the 13 players who played on Friday, and then all the contact tracing involving those players, you just didn't have a team. So it isn't like you could say, well, they did have some players that were not positive. The contact tracing players should have been able to play. There was no possible way they could have played on Saturday given the positive test that came out on Friday night. And even, you know, you think about the NCAA, this has been a situation for the entire year, is the fact that the NCAA now, I'm not saying they're hiding behind HIPAA, but I think they are very aware of it. And I think the NCAA is trying to say as little as possible because they don't want to mention names and players and this player tested positive. They can't. So they're kind of stuck in a situation too, and we've seen it even from teams. Hey, well, what players are available to play? Can't say that. Does this guy have a leg injury or is he a COVID positive? Can't tell you. I mean, we did football games in the fall where we thought a player was starting and the game kicked off, and where's number 97? He's not in the game. Why isn't he starting? Well, he must have tested positive. You didn't even know up until that point. Nobody told you anything. So I think a lot of teams, programs, the NCAA, they're very leery about saying too much, and they want to say much less than they actually we want them to say, because they want to make sure all their bases are covered in terms of that.
I just think, in my opinion, looking back at this crazy weekend, because all of us were shuffling Saturday and Sunday about, all right, let's try to connect dots here. And I think Kendall Rogers, if you go to D1 Baseball, did a brilliant job kind of laying it out. Here's what happened a week ago when NC State beat Vanderbilt 1-0 and Elliott Avin after the game said, hey, there's a bug going around. That waved a flag to the NCAA, but hey, let's keep an eye on this. And obviously that progressed as the week went on where unvaccinated players were tested. And next thing you know, one turns into two, which turned into four. And by the time you got to the next game against Vanderbilt on Friday, hey, we got a delay in the game. We don't know what's going on, what's happening. You got half your team getting dragged by the NCAA for testing, which everybody agreed to, by the way. And next thing you know, Elliott's sitting there going, hey, you can either forfeit, you're going to go play with 13 guys. Obviously, NC State's guys want to go play. And by the way, it's gotten lost in the shuffle, in my opinion. Those 13 dudes on Friday put in one of the great efforts of all time. I mean, NC State battles Vanderbilt and Kumar Rocker with 13 guys out of position. Yeah. I feel your starting pitcher's over there at first base. He collects three hits. And we'll get into all this in the next 3 hours. But the effort by the NC State baseball team on Friday was legendary, even in a loss. And, man, they're one knock away in the ninth inning of winning the game. And I don't have any idea what the NCAA would have done under that scenario. But we won't worry about that because that's an if. But I just think that the NCAA did such a lousy job in the communication department Saturday morning, not at 2:10 a.m. in a press release in which 100% of America was sound asleep, other than me and some fans from Texas or Mississippi State. At Saturday morning, there should have been a press conference to say, listen, here is the latest and why we made the decision that we did. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You didn't have to name any players. You could have protected everybody from that perspective, from a HIPAA standpoint, but it would have eliminated all the conspiracy theories. It would have eliminated NC State fans going, hey, our administration ought to sue them. All that is nonsense. I mean, that is complete waste of time and energy. But the NCAA, because of their silence and the decision in the middle of the night to make an announcement of their championship and not even follow up with it, just made for, I thought, a hectic, chaotic weekend, unfortunately, for their sport, for NC State, and for everybody that loves baseball. It was really, really poorly handled.
I do agree with you on that. I mean, to me, the NCAA, why can't they just be clear and opaque about these kinds of things? I mean, why can't they just come out and say, to your point, we don't have to mention names, you don't have to say which players, but just to clear the fog a little bit. It helps themselves. Hey, help yourselves out. Right. Go out there and tell everybody exactly what happened. You mentioned Kendall Rogers. Great article on D1 Baseball. I mean, he does a fantastic job of the whole timeline and the numbers of players and everybody else. And he, of course, couldn't get official statements from the NCAA, so he had to use his sources as a reporter and did a great job. But why couldn't the NCAA just do that and eliminate all of this talk about whether the NCAA had it out for NC State or whatnot, which I think you and I both think is ridiculous. They did not. Their rules were pretty clear, even though there were some vague, open-endedness to it at the beginning of the tournament. They were clear. And then when you look back and you see the positive test for NC State, it looks to me, and I definitely want to get Boo's opinion on this later, Boo Corrigan, who's the AD at NC State, he's going to join us. Were you clear about the rules, and do you have a full understanding about how those rules and those COVID protocols were broken, leading to NC State being kicked out of the tournament?
I don't have any doubt that Boo knew. I think everybody who's in college athletics understood that medical professionals are going to have a say-so in how we go about our business. And if you read the NCAA protocol as far as their testing, what happens if there's an outbreak, here is our procedure. Everything was done to the letter of the law that everybody agreed to. So there could not be any lawsuits, you got it out for us, you know, conspiracy theories. But the NCAA on Saturday morning should have come out and said, listen, here is how we got to this position. Unfortunately for NC State, they had four positive tests. It led to the delay of the first game on Friday against Vanderbilt. And here's our situation. Afterwards, during the game, we had to take these guys. They were tested. They were not able to get back to the game. Therefore, afterwards, because there was an outbreak, we tested everybody, whether you were vaccinated or not vaccinated. And here is what we found. We found that NC State had 8 positive tests. Quite frankly, given the 8 positives, you got a roster of 27, contact tracing, NC State did not have enough beings, not enough bodies to participate moving forward. We hate it for them. The timing's awful. This is bad for our sport. It's bad for NC State. Nobody wishes this on anybody. But here's how we got to this point. There was never any explanation. And when you don't have an explanation and you get to this stage of a tournament and you kick somebody out and say, hey, here's our statement. Go read it at 2:10 a.m. on Saturday morning. And that's all you get. No wonder why people are ticked off and are frustrated. Yeah. And it stinks. And this would be true if it happened to Vandy or Mississippi State or Texas or anybody else in any sport. It just so happened to be for NC State. And I think it also needs to be pointed out to show you how crazy this is, that COVID doesn't care. The NCAA has had 64 championships this year, 64. Only 2 were in a bubble, men's and women's basketball. Everything else was basically conducted as is. That's 284 total events by the NCAA. They tested over 130,000 tests, right? 130,000 tests. The positivity rate of those 130,000 tests was 0.04%. Now let that marinate a second. And then all of a sudden you look at an NC State baseball team that had 8 of their 27 guys tested positive. And you understand, based on the medical experts and the protocols put in place, why NC State was basically in no man's land. They just could not field a team for Saturday. But the NCAA never came out with that, and hence you got people screaming, going crazy, conspiracy theory, they're out to get us, let's sue them, our administration be... Nonsense. I mean, again, the NCAA's lack of communication, I think, just caused a humongous problem. That's what I look at.
And even though we know what we know, I still think there are questions that need to be answered. I mean, sure. when you go to testing vaccinated players and vaccinated players test positive, well, then you start to scratch your head and you say, what about the other vaccinated players on the other teams? I mean, who's to say that because Vanderbilt played NC State earlier in the week and maybe a couple of players were feeling the bug that played in that game, well, there's contact tracing there between an NC State player and a Vanderbilt player. Why aren't the vaccinated players at Vanderbilt being tested? All of them at this point in time. If you're testing vaccinated players at NC State that have been in contact with their teammates, wouldn't you test vaccinated players who have been in contact with NC State players who played them earlier on in the week or even that game on Friday? 4 vaccinated players for NC State tested positive after that game on Friday. Well, they played against Vanderbilt players on Friday night. Shouldn't you then, if you're testing one team's vaccinated players, test another team's vaccinated players?
Well, they only test the vaccinated players if there is a considered outbreak of the unvaccinated players. And maybe there
is. Well, where does that outbreak end? Does it only end in the locker room? Does it end on the field? They're touching each other on the field. They're close. A player gets a base hit. He's standing on first base right next to the first baseman for Vanderbilt. Does that not constitute being involved in the outbreak?
It almost makes you wonder if moving forward for 21-22, if the NCAA protocol has to change. Where basically, if you were a vaccinated player, you kind of were over here on one side. If you're unvaccinated, well, guess what? You're going to be tested on a consistent routine basis. And if there's an outbreak, guess what? We throw all of you into the mix. It gets very confusing. But again, the NCAA's lack of any explanation other than a 2:10 a.m. Eastern time digital press release, that was all they're going to give you. And that's what's got people up in arms. And that's where we are. So we'll try to uncover more as the day goes on. I know people are upset and still upset, and I get it. I totally understand, because this team in NC State was good enough to win the entire national championship, and now they don't get the opportunity to prove it on the field. And by the way, speaking of, while NC State can't play, over 22,000 people are shoulder to shoulder watching the games. That is another issue as we move on, and we're going to talk about it. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Guest today, Joe Giglio will join us from Raleigh. I mentioned Boo Corrigan, Director of Athletics at NC State, and Mike Rooney will join us as well around 9:30. And again, we'll take your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. But when we come back, we will continue our discussion of the craziness surrounding NC State's dismissal from the NCAA baseball tournament in the College World Series. It was a crazy, crazy weekend. It's Packer and Durham. I got Chris Cotter filling in for Wes. Again, we are presented by the good folks at New York Life. Come right back to you.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. As I mentioned, Wes is on the links today, a little charity event. Chris Cotter filling in. But the story is NC State today. 844-SAY-ACCM. We'll get to your phone calls here momentarily. Chris, so looking back on Friday, and I know it was an L, but I'm going to tell you, and I've been in this league a long, long time, what NC State did Friday was one of the most remarkable efforts I've ever seen, given the circumstances. At 90 minutes before the game, next thing you know, you got guys testing positive. Half your team's over at the Marriott getting tested. You don't know if you're coming or going. You're offered the opportunity to forfeit or play. You're like, excuse me, that's not even a question. We're NC State. We're here to win the national championship. Forfeit? What are you talking about? We're going to take my 13 guys out there and play. Look at that shot right there. Hey, it was incredible what NC State pulled off Friday. And listen, Vanderbilt's a great program, great team, all that good stuff. And you got Kumar Rocker on the mound, and here comes NC State and their 13 guys going, okay, cool, let's play. It was unbelievable what they did Friday.
They had four pitchers going into that game. Really, I guess three of the four were freshman pitchers that had a combined, just a handful of innings all season long. You've got your best pitcher that's available is playing first base, and he hadn't had an at-bat all year, so he grabs a bat and goes into the cage a couple of minutes before the first pitch just to take a couple of hacks, just to get himself ready to go. And Coach Avin said it about all the players, really. There was never a question as to whether they were going to play, and they were actually excited about the opportunity. Coach Corman at Vanderbilt said it after the game, and, I'm sure NC State fans take umbrage with maybe a few things that he said at Vandy, but he definitely, I think, was right in the fact that you play a team like this with NC State, and they've got nothing to lose. You know, they're going out there, those 13 kids, thinking, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose the game, but everybody thinks we're going to lose the game. So let's just go out there and let it all hang out and see what happens. They had opportunities to win this game in the seventh inning, the eighth inning, the ninth inning. They gave themselves a chance, and the pitching was unbelievable to go toe-to-toe with Kumar Rocker to get them to that point. I think it's a positive. You know, I think if you got to look at some positive to take from this, and the positive is the way they played on Friday night, and I think the light that it shines on this program, making just their third College World Series appearance here. Now they've got a chance, and I think this was sort of a year for teams in the ACC like Virginia Tech and Pitt and Notre Dame to show that they're part of the new power structure in baseball in the ACC. And NC State could be right there to say, we're not a one-off team. This is the program that's going to be at the top of the ACC and competing for College World Series from here on out. And I think Friday night's appearance, even as disappointing as it was to get the boot from the tournament, was a positive step in that direction.
Well, it got people's attention, and there was no question. I can tell you from the afternoon radio show conversations and what we had here on Packer and Durham, NC State was the darling of Omaha. And the fact that you go out there with 13 guys, right? Five members of the normal starting lineup were available. You mentioned Highfill, who was out of sight in the first go-around when we saw him on the bump. He gets three hits against Vanderbilt with Rocker on the mound. I mean, it was just an incredible effort by those 13 guys. And, you know, Garrett Payne had thrown 8 2/3 innings all season long. And what does he do? Okay, cool. We're going to go play Vanderbilt. Yeah, we know how great they are. Been there, done that. And he finds out 30 minutes before the game, hey, you got the ball, son. Let's go play. And he's out there dealing. Goes five innings, gave up two hits, three runs, one earned, struck out three. I mean, it was an incredible effort by NC State. And while all that was going on, you know, you got 14 other guys over there getting tested one way or the other. Elliott doesn't know if he's coming or going. His head's spinning. He's just trying to keep this thing together. Their team is battling like crazy. You mentioned opportunities in the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth. They got two guys on. If the guy goes yard tonight, NC State wins the game. And then what does the NCAA do? So you just had no earthly idea. I'm sure Elliott was like, what are we doing? But he did a great job keeping this thing together. And obviously, you know, you wanted the W, but man, that will go down in legend, what that NC State group of 13 players did on Friday, hanging around and just trying to keep that thing together. But you know, if NC State had 13 guys available on Saturday, there's no doubt they're playing the game, right? The problem is you didn't have 13 guys. But listen, we're going to take some phone calls because I know people want to get off their chest the frustration, and I get it. I totally understand why NC State fans are going ballistic, but I will just say again, the conspiracy theories, our administration should be taking these guys to court, that is all a waste of time. It's got nothing to do with any of that stuff, right? 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Tom in North Carolina wants to lead the way. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Enjoy your show. Love it. The question I have, and y'all hit it on one of your segments, you can still contract COVID even though you're vaccinated, and that happens to some of the NC State players. My concern is if the NCAA is so worried about the players, that should have triggered testing all three teams, because something wrong is going out there for that many people to be going on all the way around. I was wondering what y'all's response to that would be.
All right, Tom, appreciate the phone call.
You know that?
Go ahead, Chris.
That's what I said, Pac. You know, like, if players who are vaccinated are testing positive, then it doesn't matter whether your whole team is vaccinated or not, because you could be testing positive too. So the whole thought of, well, we're only going to test those who are unvaccinated, and we're not going to test those who are vaccinated because the vaccinated crew is already in the clear. They're not. Because of those four players, they've already proven now that they're not in the clear. So why wasn't Mississippi State and Texas and Vanderbilt, all of their vaccinated players, also tested at that moment? Because at that moment, you said to yourself, well, wait a minute, vaccinated players aren't in the clear. We need to make sure everybody's okay.
Well, this is where this can go all different directions. If you go back, and I've read this protocol from the NCAA 100 times this weekend, if I read it once. and it really, the protocol is pretty clear. If you're vaccinated, you're basically put to the side. If you're unvaccinated, you go through the antigen test. If that turns out to be, where's the positive? They take you to the PCR. If it's a PCR, it becomes a little bit more reliable. If that's positive, you go to the COVID quarantine. The issue here would be, I don't know Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Texas as far as the percentage of players who were vaccinated. If everybody was vaccinated, 100%, there is no test. There is no test. The only reason a vaccinated player would be tested is if the local health officials and the NCAA believed there was a COVID outbreak. That is it. And it says it right there.
I know.
Black and white in the rules. So the point of it is, if you had unvaccinated players on the other three teams, they were tested. That I assure, but I don't know what that number is. It could be zero. It could be 25. I have no idea.
Pac, what constitutes an outbreak? Is it just an outbreak within the team? Is it an outbreak within the tournament itself? Because there is a lot of commingling between teams and coaches and umpires and 21,000 fans and people in hotel lobbies and everything else. Like, what constitutes the outbreak? 8 players on one team, 4 of them were previously vaccinated. That's a pretty serious outbreak. But now, how far does that extend?
Well, here's the other thing. And again, this is why this becomes really complicated and people go crazy. You got the Delta COVID variety, right? The variant that's out, which is a new problem. I wonder, moving forward, if this NC State situation doesn't change the NCAA's thinking about how they go about the test. Because the fact that if you're going to assume that someone that's vaccinated doesn't need to be tested on a regular basis, NC State proved, well, guess what? There is a loophole to that. We had 4 vaccinated guys that, guess what, were positive. And you weren't going to test them ever unless you sensed there was an outbreak on the team. Moving forward, who's to tell me that there's not, again, I don't want to create a storm here, but this is why there's a gray area here. I don't know the answer for Vanderbilt or for Mississippi State or Texas at the time on Friday. I don't know what their percentage of unvaccinated versus vaccinated. And here's the other thing. Elliot Avent made this perfectly clear. You know what? In America, you got a choice. There's a lot of folks, grown adults, that said, you know what? I'm not going to get the shot. I can tell you, I know family members that are falling under that area of 18 plus young adults who have had the vaccination that got sick as a dog. If you're a student athlete, you know what? You may sit there and go, hey, the percentage of me and the positivity rate of being okay in COVID is 99.97%. I'm not going to roll the dice. I'll go unvaccinated and take my chances. You got to make decisions, and you're going to be held accountable to them. But the NCAA's protocol made it really clear that if you were unvaccinated, you were going to get tested. And that, unfortunately, was the problem for NC State. The unvaccinated turned into COVID test, which, unfortunately, the NCAA and the local health officials said, flag, we're going to test all of you just to make sure. Then they got the worst of all answers. Eight were positive.
Yeah.
Now they just shut it down. So I wonder if it's going to change the NCAA moving forward with their testing policy.
Yeah, that's the big question. I think you hit it, Pack, is that the protocol as it exists coming into this NCAA College World Series was followed. But maybe now that protocol needs to change and involve a more rigorous testing procedure for those who have already been vaccinated, including those who have already been vaccinated on every team.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll take more phone calls. Again, we're going to cover this for the next 2 hours and 30 minutes. It is still the big story regarding NC State's dismissal from the College World Series. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. We'll come back, take some more phone calls. Again, I know you're frustrated if you're a Wolfpack fan. Big picture, we'll try to make things a little bit clearer between now and 10 a.m. Boo Corgan's going to join us as well coming up at 9. All that's coming up. Packer and Durham presented by New York Life.
Packer and Durham. Welcome to Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
Chester looking around, just like everybody else this weekend. What's the NCAA doing? Well, fake left, go right. What's happening here? 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. I'll go back to the phone calls. Joe has been holding patiently. Joe, good morning. How are you? Good morning, Joe. What's up?
Good morning, Pac. I'm just calling to I just want to touch base again on the issue of why Vanderbilt has not been tested. And I know you keep mentioning the protocols, but those go out the window once the Wolfpack has four vaccinated players test positive. They played the game Friday. Like your co-host said, they were in close proximity. Vanderbilt should be getting tested. The NCAA is holding NC State to a different standard if they don't test Vanderbilt.
How do you know they haven't been tested?
Because the NCAA hasn't said anything. There's no HIPAA around being tested.
Well, wait a minute. That doesn't mean they haven't been tested. Maybe they haven't had any positive cases, and therefore the NCAA doesn't want to talk about it because there's nothing to talk about.
What do you mean? Wouldn't the NCAA benefit if they came out and said Vanderbilt was tested as well? And they came out with no positive test.
Joe, the NCAA would be benefited by a lot of things, especially being able to have any conversation like we talked about. It's one thing to put out a press release at 2:10 a.m., but there should have been a follow-up Saturday, truly Saturday morning when America was awake, to say, listen, here is the reason we made the decisions that we did,
right,
and here's how we're going to move forward. And that includes everybody else that's still in the tournament. You got to say that if you're you're running the organization. That's why I said, by just laying out a 2:10 a.m. press release that nobody in America was up other than me, Chester, Fuller, and a couple of players on other teams, that can't be sufficient moving forward when you just kick somebody out of the tournament and there's no follow-up. There's got to be an explanation of, hey, here's what we're doing for everybody else in the tournament. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah.
You don't have to lay out any names. You can protect all those individuals you want, including NC State. You could have easily just said, hey, there have been 8 positive tests on the NC State baseball program. That is why there's a no contest, because based on protocol A, page 3, 9th to the 4th power, that's what we've all agreed to. Now, moving forward, as far as Vanderbilt's concerned, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do for the winner of the Mississippi State Tech. They did nothing. So by not saying anything, all they've done is create clouded judgment, conspiracy theories, lawsuits. Our guys ought to be doing this. We should show up. That is just like, that is the wrong approach. But that is the NCAA's inability to communicate that has just caused nothing but problems, even for themselves.
Yeah, Joe, I think that's the thing. You're putting your eggs in that basket, in the NCAA's communication basket. You don't know. You know, Vanderbilt hasn't been tested because the NCAA hasn't told you they've been tested. It means absolutely nothing because the NCAA hasn't told us diddly. I mean, right. The only thing we've gotten is information from investigative reporters who have gone around the NCAA to find out answers to questions.
Now, I will tell you, you know, the routine is if you're not a non-vaccinated player, student-athlete, there is a routine the day before the game, you get tested. Now, I said earlier, if everybody on your team was vaccinated, quite frankly, the way this thing's worded, there's no test. Now, does the NCAA do a fake left, go right, and change their approach? I have no earthly idea. You know why we don't know? Because they don't tell you anything. And so, therefore, it leads to questions.
The NCAA is going to have to change their protocols, Mark, to your point. If they want to test Vanderbilt's players without there being any evidence that anybody on Vanderbilt is suffering from COVID or has any symptoms or even is tested positive for COVID, then they're going to have to change the protocol that they've had going into the College World Series. And that sets up a whole new set of questions as to why are you changing it now in midstream? We're two or three games away from finding out our champion.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones. Kevin in North Carolina is up next. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Here's my take. I'm totally crestfallen to the nth degree on this, as we all are. And anyway, the bottom line to me is if I'm Anthony Avan, I would have had a team meeting early in the year, sat down in front of the team, gotten the shot in front of the team, sent a strong, strong message to the team to get your damn shot. And, you know, you can't force somebody to get a shot. But I got to say that that's what I would have done. Bo Corrigan, I would have had the whole athletic department coaches in there and gotten a shot in front of them, send the same message to all the coaches. And the two kids or three kids that did not get the shot, what the hell are you thinking?
Well, again, this is America, Kevin. You know, you are entitled to make a decision. And also keep in mind the timing. You know, in the state of North Carolina, it wasn't until the very first week of April that Governor Cooper said, hey, you got a green light if you're over the age of 18 to go get a shot. You're in the middle of a season. You know, if you're an athlete, I mean, a real athlete, and these guys fall into that category, well, what do you put in your body? Are you safe to do it? And listen, there's grown adults that are much more educated today that aren't comfortable getting the vaccination. I'm not going to get into a political issue with you on this. You either can do it or you don't. Like I said, my two girls got vaccinated, and they were sick as a dog. And if you go back and do a little homework, you have found that the younger generation has really had some adverse reactions to taking the vaccination. I'm not telling you to get it or not. That's up for you to decide. But I will tell you, based on the way this protocol is laid out by the NCAA, if you rolled into a tournament and you were unvaccinated, guess what? You were going to get tested. If you were vaccinated, you're going to be safe unless there was a major outbreak. And that's the way it's worded.
Yeah, that, I mean, you know, Kevin brings up a point that is going to be probably even magnified now moving forward more than it has in the past. And that is, how strongly will coaches, and you know, you got football season right around the corner and you got 85 kids or however many you've got out there. We saw it with Clemson last year and Trevor Lawrence, and that didn't, you know, affect them too poorly. But you got a situation where coaches are going to say, look what happened to NC State last year. A game, two games, three games away from winning a national championship, and they're out. Do you want that to happen to us in December? How much pressure is going to be put on kids and everybody involved in the program to get the vaccine? It's going to be a big point of contention here going throughout the summer leading into football season.
And, of course, a lot has changed since what looked the fall of 20 versus where we are in the summer of 21, especially given the vaccine. And, you know, the other thing, too, Chris, is, you know, with football, you know, Lawrence ended up missing, what, two games. He missed the BC game, missed the Notre Dame game. You know, that the whole contact tracing and the amount of time it takes if you get tested positive, you know, football gives you at least the ability, hey, it's a week out. When you're playing baseball and it's every day, that window of once you get tagged, you're it, You're no man. I mean, you got no chance between the contact tracing and a positive. It wipes everybody out. And again, the timing could not have been worse for NC State or any baseball team at this point in time if you had positive tests. And unfortunately for State, eight of your 27 guys are positive. They really had just no chance at all based on the way the medical rules are laid out in the NCAA protocol for them to play a game on Saturday. And they had no chance.
It is true. Football with the numbers gives you a better chance, even with contact tracing, to be able to piece things together, to be able to play, even though you may only have your B and C teams out there. Basketball is the worst. I mean, I had Boston College in basketball this past winter, and Jim Christian was like, I've got no team. Even when I put walk-ons out there, I got six players. So it becomes harder when you have smaller numbers when you've got to have players out, and that's what happened to NC State on Friday and made it impossible for them to play on Saturday.
And I know we'll talk to Boo coming up at 9 a.m., but NC State did everything that they possibly could to kind of, you know, can we delay this? Can we play a doubleheader on Sunday? And, of course, that wasn't agreed to. And if you're Vanderbilt and the other guy, you're like, hey, we've adhered to the rules. We're ready to play. I get it. But NC State did everything in their power to just kind of give us some more time where we could take more tests. Maybe the number goes from 8 to 4. We could put a guys out there. You know, it was just a mess. It was just the timing could not have been worse for NC State. And the thing that makes it even more excruciating is how great this team was. This was a team that wasn't lip service. They were good enough to win the whole deal. And they had already proven it by what they did at Arkansas and what they had already done at the College World Series. So it's just a double whammy is what it is. But we will discuss this more as the day goes on. Obviously, we've got a ton of guests coming your way. And again, we'll take more of your phone calls as well at 844-SAY-ACCN. But just a reminder that the football season is right around the corner. And ACC Network's got you covered with complete coverage of the ACC football kickoff. It's on July 21st and 22nd. You do not want to miss a minute as we get you ready for one of the biggest seasons of ACC football ever, and we'll have you covered right here on ACC Network. When we return, in case you missed it, the Olympians are in the air, track and field, swimming, all that good stuff. Paige Madden, she joined us last week. In case you missed it, you don't want to miss it. She was great. Come back and discuss it right here on Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Chris Cotter filling in for Wes, who should be on about the second hole by now. Come right back to you. You're on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. We'll get back to the NC State story, which we will cover nonstop till 10 a.m. But in case you missed it on Friday, we had an Olympian with us from the University of Virginia. That was Paige Madden. And we asked her point blank that, you know what, things must be crazy since the trials.
Yeah, I've been really overwhelmed. There's been, like, so many people reaching out to me. I can't even respond to everybody. But it's been great. It's been really good. It makes my heart warm just to see, you know, people from back home reaching out to me that I haven't talked to in a while. And just, you know, the support from the UVA community and just the Charlottesville area has been great. And yeah, I'm really excited.
The red, white, and blue. I mean, does it get any better than that, representing the country?
I don't know. I can't think of anything, you know, past that. So that's a good question, but I don't know.
I'm going to follow up with that, well, though. I'm going to follow up with that. I tell you what's got to be as cool is the fact that you've also got some fellow UVAers joining you, right? I mean, it's really an incredible trip to Omaha for a lot of Virginia swimmers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you have Kate Douglas, Alex Walsh. We have a girl who's been swimming professionally with us, Kay DeLuth. And then, I'm really excited about that. We have a good group going. Todd, our head coach, is also going with us. So we have a pretty solid group going. I think there's something like Virginia women is making up 20% of the Olympic team on the women's side. I think that's pretty cool, and I'm just excited to be part of that.
Very cool, is right.
So Paige, what's the whole experience of being in the pool and you know you're swimming for a chance at the Olympics? I mean, going to the Olympics is a whole nother level, But being in the pool and knowing you've got a chance to get to the Olympics, is that different than anything that you've ever been through before?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's so nerve-wracking. I think people keep telling me Olympic trials are way more stressful than the Olympics themselves, just because everybody is fighting for a spot on the Olympic team. And you're, you know, in this big arena, and there's this jumbotron. You feel like it's going to fall on top of you. And it's different than any other for me, you know, you've ever been to. But at the same time, it's all like really, really cool. But yeah, I don't think anything compares to it.
Paige, this is going to be a goofy, I like to ask goofy offbeat questions. What are the perks? What kind of perks do we get being on the U.S. Olympic team? Do you know what's coming? Like, there's got to be unbelievably cool packages that are going to be delivered here in the next couple of weeks. Do you know what's coming, and what do you get
as a member of the U.S. Olympic team? Well, as you can see, they gave us a bunch of gear. They gave us like 2 suitcases worth of this, just took us to this warehouse and we tried everything on and gave us that. And I think we're getting another 2 suitcases once we get to training camp. And that's another thing. We get to go to training camp in Hawaii, so that's pretty cool. That's a pretty big perk.
Oh, yeah, you did. You threw that one in at the end, like, oh, these guys are going to be impressed. I got more Speedos and goggles. Yeah. And oh, by the way, the trip to Hawaii. In. I noticed how you did that. That was sneaky. That was sneaky.
Love it. So that was actually going to be my next question. You're basically going to swim with your competitors from the Olympic trials in some of these relays. They're now your teammates. How much chemistry, how much kind of practice and continuity do you have to develop in some of the relay events you'll be trying to qualify for too?
Yeah, I think, you know, I already got to come, like, we get to rise out of the ground when they announce, like, the relay. It's pretty cool. But Allison Schmidt, who is a veteran, she was talking to the 4 of us. She's like, you know, our relay is going to be great. I'm really excited about that. And, you know, this is my first time going to the Olympics, so I've never, like, experienced what it's like to build that team chemistry, because, you know, those have been my competitors over the last 4 years, but it'll be different. And I think the veterans will kind of take the reins and building the team chemistry in that. And, you know, we'll elect team captains and have like group bonding and everything. So I'm really excited for it. It should be interesting.
Have you ever been to Tokyo?
I've never been there. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
How about, have you ever been out of the country?
Yes. I actually went to World University Games in Italy, and I think I've been on vacation a couple places, but nowhere as exotic as Tokyo.
What is the schedule, though, for you between now and Hawaii? Yeah. How far apart is that? I know we've got to be on a kind of a crazy schedule, so what's it look like coming down the stretch here?
Yeah, so I leave for Hawaii on Sunday.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, not much, except I'm moving out of my apartment. As you can see, my shelves are empty back there. But yeah, there's, you know, I got to submit all my COVID tests and everything to get, it's pretty hard to get to Hawaii just in terms of COVID protocols. But right now I'm just trying to get everything done before then.
Man, it's a great story. We are proud of you. I'm telling you, we knew you back when you were just, you know, a student there at the University of Virginia, rocking and rolling, and now you turn into a rock star. Absolutely cool.
Thank you. I don't know if I would call myself a rock star, but I appreciate that.
And let me tell you something. Anybody that rises from the ground to get back up like that is a rock star, Paige. That's the deal.
You know, that was pretty cool. That was like a cool. It was scary, but it was a cool experience.
Paige Madden, she is a just a joy to talk to. USA, USA, and heading over to Hawaii, eventually to Tokyo, representing our country. Awesome. All right, coming up, hour number 2, the pre-power hour. Joe Giglio will join us in about a half an hour. We'll take more of your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. We will continue the NC State conversation. And we'll also give you the best and worst of the weekend. All that is coming up. Hour two, Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.